This is Vatican Radio. The US ambassador to the Holy See, Kenneth Hackett, has been recalling the tragic and traumatic event of Haiti's devastating earthquake in January 2010 that killed nearly a quarter of a million people. Speaking as Haiti marks the sixth anniversary of the quake, Ambassador Hackett said he had very vivid, compelling and upsetting memories of the desperate scenes in the Haitian capital, Port-au-Prince, shortly after the quake struck. At that time, Hackett was president of Catholic Relief Services, or CRS, and it was under his leadership that CRS mounted a huge operation in Haiti to respond to the disaster. He spoke to Linda Bordoni about his own personal memories of Haiti's quake and its aftermath.
Ambassador Hackett, you were head of CRS when the terrible earthquake struck in Haiti. What is your first memory of that day?
Ooh, horror. I had an office in Port-au-Prince. The earthquake struck in late afternoon around 5 o'clock. We got wind of it by about 5:20, 5:30, something like that. Most of us were thinking about going home, which we didn't. And it was just a horror. At that moment, Catholic Relief Services had 300 staff in Haiti, not all in Port-au-Prince. But happily, from the Port-au-Prince office, most of them had gone home. Immediately, we tried to reconnoiter how bad it was, where people were any people hurt. And by the next morning, basically, and literally, the dust started to settle and people had a much better idea of how tragic and traumatic it was because virtually everybody in Port-au-Prince and then down to Jacmel and other towns were affected by this. Either they may have lost their lives, they lost loved ones, they lost property. I didn't get down to Port-au-Prince until I think either the 13th or the 14th. I went down basically with a couple of bishops for the funeral mass of the archbishop who was killed.
Right.
And his vicar general was killed. And it was really a terribly moving, upsetting visit to Port-au-Prince, because just there were just so many people who were dazed and, as I say, traumatized. And what was very difficult was that the people who were supposed to offer the help, the succor, were traumatized. They couldn't move. They couldn't make a decision.
Why was that?
It happens naturally when you go through something terrible like that. You don't know what to do. And I know for my staff, I went down and one of the people on my group was a medical person. And basically we interviewed all the staff and then brought in trauma specialists. We had to pull out a lot of expatriates because they just couldn't handle it. They were walking around in circles, sometimes literally. So in order to respond, you had to bring in new people who were less immediately affected by the situation. Equally the same was the case with all of the church people, Caritas, the people in the archdiocese. There was one blessing, and it was in the form of the Apostolic Nuncio, Archbishop Ausa, who is now in New York.
Yes.
And he just was able to bring his wits about him, and he was right there guiding things, intervening, making the decisions that were necessary, and it made a big difference for the recovery.
So Catholic Relief Service was there already, and
yes.
Your immediate response was obviously, as you were saying, the immediate trauma response, providing first assistance,
yeah,
but you stayed on the ground for a long time.
We did,
after that.
We did. In fact, we had a sub office, CRS still has the sub office in Lakai, which is a southern city. And the head of that office, a Haitian doctor, got his people to load, I think, about a dozen trucks worth of food and supplies the night of the earthquake. And they left at 4 o'clock in the morning, drove up to Port-au-Prince because he knew that there would be supplies needed and that people would be stunned and unable to respond. So he just took the initiative himself and brought I don't know how many tons of food and supplies up to Port-au-Prince and started distributing that day, the day right after the earthquake.
People didn't have homes anymore.
Oh, people were in the street. People didn't know where their children were. Where's grandma? We can't get over there. Nothing was working. The bus service wasn't working properly. And I've seen a number of, or been involved in a number of earthquakes and major calamities. This one was terrible. And I think it was terrible in one instance because it took place in a capital city, in a very congested, a very difficult place. So even at the mass that we went to, the President Preval came to the mass with his wife, and he was visibly shaken. Now, this was 4 days afterwards. He broke down in tears. So it was an event that affected everybody very powerfully, but everybody was expected to do something to recover as well. And so there were a lot of heroes and people who saved people's lives and went out of their way to care for others. You saw really that element in people too.
Do you remember what the final death toll turned out to be?
I think we're talking 200,000 or 300,000 or something like that. Yeah, it was big. You know, there are different types of disasters. I don't want to get into a disaster lecture here, but in the tsunami in Asia, yes. You recall that, or your listeners will recall that, you were either dead or you weren't. I mean, you lost everything, you got washed away, you drowned. Whereas in an earthquake, what happens is you're injured, you're stuck, you're in a collapsed building for maybe hours, days sometimes. So there's an ongoing kind of trauma. When we went to the hospital that was owned and run by the Archdiocese of Port-au-Prince, St. Francis de Sales Hospital, I mean, the hospital building collapsed, but the doctors and nurses who were able were still trying to treat people out in the open, fixing broken limbs and things like that. It was amazing.
6 years on, is CRS still operative in the area? Do you know?
CRS is still operating in Haiti. I know that there are literally thousands of houses that were constructed at first temporarily, and then people take the initiative and add on to them. So, and that was the intent, that it wasn't the outsiders who were supposed to do things. It was the Haitians who take the initiative. Equally, that hospital I referred to, owned by the Archdiocese of Port-au-Prince, has been totally rebuilt, 150-bed hospital, very modern, really a model for what could be in downtown Port-au-Prince. I mean, it's not.
Let's remember,
on
it's
the
a
hill.
Very poor nation as
oh,
well.
Oh yes, absolutely. Yeah, things don't work as they should in Haiti, and therefore, when you have a calamity such as that, or some of the calamities that followed that earthquake, such as the cholera epidemic, etc., they really take their toll on the people who try trying their best. So, Haiti is a a very vivid, very compelling memory. Just one story. That was January. In April, I was going down like every 3 weeks or something, just because you had to keep morale up and helping the Caritas.
How many
network.
People did you have on the ground? Do you remember?
Well, by April we were up to 500, and they were. You know, working with the Caritas, working at the parish level, it was kind of a joint effort. All of the Caritas network kind of pulled together from around the world. I mean, I remember we brought staff in, social workers in from Caritas Lebanon.
Gosh.
I mean, these were well-trained
people. They
were
well-trained.
And they spoke French, and they could drop into a situation of distress, and they were exceptionally useful. I was just going to say that by April, I went down, and I brought my 17-year-old son, who was going to a Jesuit high school at that time. And, you know, I didn't know what to do with him, so I just gave him to one of my guys and said, take care of them, put them on a truck and have them load stuff or do. It was a transformative experience for a 17-year-old young man. It changed his life, and he still talks about it today. That kind of engagement. The Haitian people are wonderfully, they enjoy life. They would tease the heck out of him, a young, handsome 17-year-old kid, and they're trying to get him married off to their daughters, and as he was giving out blankets and stuff, you know. So, no, it was an important experience for Haiti, for Haitians, and for all who contributed. And, you know, many millions of people around the world contributed in lots of different ways. Many gave money, but people tried to do things and prayer and all kinds of support. It was a coming together event.
Now, 6 years later, you are today, you're the ambassador, the American ambassador to the Holy See. Do you still have any particular tie to Haiti?
No, except that I follow it as close as I can. Because, the connection between Haiti and my own country, the Haitians who I found myself getting deeply engaged with Haitians in the United States, speaking to Haitian groups in Washington, in Boston, in New York, and Chicago, because they wanted to get involved in some kind of an assistance, a compassionate response. So we at Catholic Relief Services tried to be a vehicle for them, the Haitian community in the United States, and to some extent Canada, to express their concern. We felt an obligation that is almost as important as any direct assistance you can apply.
It sounds as though it's been a transformative experience for you as well.
No, it has. I mean, I retired, 2 years later, but we were still very much engaged in Haiti.
What would you like to see for Haiti in the next decade?
I would like to see a peaceful election, a transformation of their political process so that the good leaders can succeed and guide their nation. I think the appointment of the new Haitian cardinal offers great hope for the church in Haiti. And peace, progress, that would be my dream and my wish.
Thank you very much, Ambassador Hackett.